Hi, and thank you for listening in to the New Song Podcast from this week's service. You are welcome and encouraged to join us at 10 a.m. on Sundays in person. And for more information on how to get involved with New Song, go to newsonglouisville.org and follow us on social media. And now for today's message.
I want to pray the words of the Apostle Paul this morning as we begin this message. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Lord, I just come before you this morning praying in alignment with the Apostle Paul, that as it was with him, it would be with me, that when I come, Lord, that I would not come before this wonderful group of people with human eloquence or human wisdom, but I would proclaim, Lord, faithfully the testimony of God, that I would resolve to know nothing except Christ and Him crucified. That, Lord, as I come in my weakness with fear and trembling before you, Lord, that my message and my preaching would not be with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit of God's power, so that your people's faith, Lord, wouldn't rest in human wisdom, Lord, on your power. Have your way today. As we conclude this time together, may there be a true impartation from your Spirit of indestructible joy in each of our spirits. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. So, part 17 this morning, the final message in our series, and today we're talking about power, provision, and praise in perilous times. I don't know if you remember last week, but we read a passage talking about the perilous days that I believe we're living in right now. So, how do you walk in power? How do you experience God's provision? How do you be a person of praise in the midst of perilous times? As we come to a close for this series, here's what I'd love to do today. I'd love to make this a declaration that we say together. Could you do that for me? Could you humor me and just make a declaration with me and say it nice and loud with me together this morning? And I know sometimes this gets a little tricky with a group, but we're going to try it together at the count of three. How many of you are in? You're in? You're going to? Okay. Let's make it a declaration, a personal heartfelt declaration. Every week I've tried to remind you what it means to have an indestructible joy. And I can't imagine too many things that are more important for you to possess deep in your soul right now than an indestructible joy in the Lord. So at the count of three, ready? One, two, three. Indestructible joy means having a joy that no matter what happens in your life, you continue to trust and praise God, knowing that God and no circumstance has the final word over your life. Can you say amen to that this morning and give God praise for the joy that He wants to give us? He so wants to give us. So this morning we turn to Philippians 4, verses 10 through 23. Several screens here, so get ready as we read God's word together. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity, not that I speak in regard to need. For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you've done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only.
For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Paul's in jail. We know this. This is his last letter to the Philippians. These are his final words to the Philippians. He probably knows and senses this. They probably do too. And how does he end his writing? Just the way he began, with grace. I want to remind you that grace is not just God's unmerited favor. It is that. But grace is so much more. Grace is God's empowering presence at work in your life and in my life. And Paul ends his letter with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now let's talk about power in perilous times. Because as we read today, we read one of the most famous scriptures, one of the most oftentimes quoted scriptures, one of those scriptures that quite honestly ends up on a lot of bumper stickers, one of those scriptures that people love to put on plaques, one of those scriptures that people love to put on their refrigerator with a magnet. And I don't want that to cause us to lose sight of what this precious promise really is about. Let's don't just make a bumper sticker out of it. It's a really important statement. Philippians 4:13, Paul says this to you and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's say that together this morning, church. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's say it again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So many times we love to pull a verse out of context. It's called proof texting. We love how it sounds. We think, wow, we can use that in a lot of context. People have used this scripture to justify or to affirm a whole lot of things. But what's the context that it's being spoken in? Let's don't make just a bumper sticker out of it. Let's look at what Paul's testimony is that he's telling us here of the bold experiential truth that he has personally experienced in Christ. Because this is Paul's personal experience and testimony. This isn't just some flowery words that look good on your refrigerator. These are powerful words, life-changing words. A state of reality, a place in intimacy in the Lord that you and I can get to just like Paul got to. Philippians 4:12, Paul says this. He says, and I'm kind of giving a little bit of an amplified version here. I know how to be abased. Abased is tough. Abased means humbled or humiliated. Paul's saying, I've been there. I've experienced that personally. I've been humbled. I've been humiliated. I've been abased. I also know how to abound. We love that one. That one we're all for. We'll sign up for abound. Abound means to walk in excess or overflow. He says, I've been full. Most of us today, we'll leave church today and we'll go to our favorite restaurant or wherever we like to go on Sundays. And after we've hit that buffet and beat the Baptist to the buffet, man, we'll leave full. Most of us live pretty much in a state of staying full. We don't really know, it seems, in this world we live in, what it means to be hungry. That word full literally means gorged and filled up. Paul then says, I know what it means to be hungry. famished. Helps me so much, so many times. I've said this to you many, many times, but going out of the country to a third world country, to a country in great need, a developing country, just keeps my compass set on true north, because we live with such abundance, we forget what it's like to have to trust God daily for our daily bread. But Paul knew what that was like, to be hungry, to be famished. He knew what it was like to abound. He knew what it was like to suffer need. He knew what it was like even to be destitute. Paul experienced tough times and good times. And he's saying, whatever comes. And sometimes things are tough. Sometimes tough things happen to all of us. But Christ's strength can be at work in and through you in good times and tough times for God's glory, regardless of the circumstances. And this is the context of this wonderful verse that we all love so much, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can continue to trust and praise God through it all, through Christ's strength. Not through my strength. I can position myself even in the midst of a desperate situation with faith and expectancy in God's supply of strength to carry me through, to get me past the difficulties, around the mountains, through the valleys, through the crooked roads, through the difficult times, through the tests and the trials and the challenges. Jesus will strengthen me. And I can trust that. In John chapter 15, Jesus says this, and we need to remember this as we think about this promise. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. You believe that? Let me just put it this way. You're capable people who can do lots of things. I know you. You're amazingly gifted people. You can't do anything of eternal value without His help, without His strength being imbued into your heart and your spirit, without Him coming and ministering strength even in the midst of difficult times. If you quit trusting and praising God in the midst of your own peril, you will never grow in your experience with Christ's power. It's in the midst of peril that Paul has learned the secret of praising. Peril. We don't even use that word peril today very much, do we? What in the world is peril? Let me tell you, Paul was absolutely familiar with peril, and he learned to trust and praise God in peril. And you're going to receive strength to face and conquer your current crisis and even tougher times if you'll let Christ strengthen you. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. This isn't just about going out and winning a ball game. This is about being able to endure. This is about being able to face difficult times. This is about Him being able to carry you through the challenges and the circumstances of this life. This is about you in the midst of need, getting His strength freshly ministered to your heart so you can make it through that time of need and see His provision. Paul never quit. And you and I must never, never, never give up. Keep trusting, keep hanging on, keep allowing His strength to be ministered to you so that you can say, just as Paul would say toward the end of his life, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Do you understand what I'm saying? This isn't just a verse that, you know, we get to tag on when we, you know, when we've accomplished some kind of great victory in our lives. This is a verse that gets us through the most difficult time of our lives. This is a verse that carries us through the challenges. Let me show you a little bit of Christ's strength in Paul's perilous life. Here it is, and good for us again to just
end with this kind of sobering story, sobering commentary on his life. Paul says, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often, plural there, by the way, many times he faced death. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Do you know what that means? That means if you were to have looked on Paul's back and you were to have counted, you would have counted 195 scars on his back. His back looked like a busy road map from all the lashings that he took upon himself. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often. And now listen to this list of perils. Here's the perils. Okay? In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all my churches. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to this passage and it's just encouraged me deeply because I was struggling in whatever the situation or circumstance was. I was feeling weak. I was feeling like giving up. I was feeling like a failure. I was feeling like I just quit. And I looked at this and I went, wow, I haven't been through anything. Wow. Forgive me, God, for complaining. Wow. Help me, Lord. If Paul can do it, if Christ can strengthen him through these things, he can strengthen me through my little petty challenges. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lots of perils, folks. I'll be honest with you, we're pretty wimpy, aren't we? We're pretty wimpy. And we thought the enemy was attacking us just because we went out one cold morning and our car wouldn't start. Man, the enemy's against me. Really? 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 Come on. There's been so many times I thought the enemy was against me and it was nothing but, you know, just whatever, just life. First world problems. That's right, Gina, first world problems. I understand, by the way, this last sentence, I understand it very, very much. Not sure all of you would get it, to be honest, but the heart of a pastor is to want so deeply to walk in the strength of the Lord, even through the difficult times. And none of us are exempt to those difficult times. And by the way, it's always helpful to remind ourselves that this was written, The book of Philippians was written to a persecuted minority. If things change in our nation, and they are, and we will be okay regardless, because remember, folks, it doesn't matter who sits in the Oval Office. It really matters who sits on the throne of God. How about this passage? Wow. Another powerful passage from the Apostle Paul. Here he's just highlighting how Christ's strength comes in the midst of our weakness. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure.
concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, or you could say perils, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Paul had such an unbelievable revelation from God that God, in his providence, assigned to Paul what's described here in Scripture as a messenger of Satan to buffet him in order to keep him in a state of humility before God. And you can just imagine this, right? And some of you have walked through something similar, not that you've had those kind of revelations, but maybe you've dealt with some issues and you've pleaded with the Lord to take them away. And somehow he didn't, and somehow he was working in and through them. You can just see Paul coming before the Lord. Lord, please, please take this from me. God says, no, son, it's for your benefit. And Paul comes again and just in deep sincerity, crying out, pleading before the Lord, Lord, please, please take this from me. And the Lord says, no, son, I can't make it stop. It's for your benefit. But God, please, a third time, please take it from me. And God says, I can't. It's for your benefit, and I'm working through it. Remember grace, because his answer is so powerful. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. And yes, grace is unmerited favor, but grace is also God's divine enabling. It's God's empowering presence in our lives. In other words, the Lord is saying, I'm walking with you every step of the way through it. I'm walking with you. My presence is with you. I'll carry you. I'll help you. I'll strengthen you. And my presence is enough for you, Paul. It's enough. Let's look at that grace for a moment. The Bible says that grace is sufficient. God's divine enabling, his empowering presence is sufficient for us. Whatever you're going through, whatever difficult times you encounter, hear those words from the Lord. My grace is sufficient for you. It's strength perfected in weakness. As our weakness grows, there's something about that. There's this exchange that happens. In our weakness, he's made strong. Before I came up here today, I was feeling so weak, so inadequate. Once again, just wondering, Lord, why have you chosen me of all people to do this? I'm so weak and I'm so inadequate. I don't know if I can even do it. And just praying and crying and saying, God, please, you be made strong. And I have this little habit I've developed over the years. I just take a step at some point. I just take a step and I say, Lord, I'm stepping out of my weakness into your strength. Please, Lord, just hide me behind your cross. May you be glorified and may you just through me and let your anointing flow through me, Lord. Take pleasure in weaknesses. Wow. Because then Christ's strength shows up. Weakness. Christ's power will overcome our weakness, our sadness, our devastation, our depression, our difficulties, if we will allow him. You guys.
Whatever it is, whatever difficult thing you're carrying, whatever difficult thing you're walking through, you can do this through Christ's power. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Now, Paul turns and begins to talk about how when you've trusted Christ through your perilous times, He's so good at providing for you. It's almost like this is a process. When you learn to trust Him through the difficulties, His provision is there for you. Philippians 4:19. One of the earliest scriptures I memorized. I don't know why. I must have been going through some financial tough times. That's been a pretty common theme in my life. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Jesus. Have you memorized that one? That's a good one to know. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He provides all of our needs. He gives strength to the weak. He's a resource to the needy. In our sacrificial giving, He can't be outgiven. And it's interesting because the Philippians, they were one of the most generous churches of all the churches. They were one of the most generous churches that championed and supported personally the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 tells us a bit about this story. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." That's Philippi. "That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty..." Do you know statistically, this is really interesting. Statistically in America, people who give the most to the church are those who are on the lower income spectrum. The more a person makes in America, the less they tend to give. Isn't that interesting? It's sad, actually. Their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. In other words, the riches, their generosity, and their giving. "For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and even beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." Notice the grace of God at work in their very tough situation, because the grace of God does work in tough situations. In the midst of their great trial of affliction, there was great abundance of joy. In the midst of their deep poverty, they abounded in riches of liberality. They even gave beyond their ability. Let me just say, that's what I hope happens with the Harvest Project. That you and I would give beyond our own ability. That's the whole idea of saying to the Lord, "Okay, Lord, how much do you want me to give to the Harvest Project this year?" It's not about you going over here and taking out your checkbook and looking at your finances and go, "Well, I make this much, and Pastor Jeff says something about 2%, and well, that would be about this much, and I don't know, that seems like too much, and maybe I'll pare it down a little bit, and okay, I'll give like $10 a week." That's not what needs to happen with the Harvest Project. Here's what needs to happen. Okay, God, we've got so many great missionaries doing so many good things all over the world. I want to give abundantly. I want to give generously, Lord, but you know my finances. I'm going to trust you, Lord. If I trusted you, what would you enable me to give that would be beyond my own ability? Not $520, $10 a week, $5,000? Lord, how would that happen? Well, trust me and you'll see. And then you walk away and you watch as God begins to bring in extra finances from places you didn't expect, places you didn't even know, gifts and blessings that you had no idea were coming down the pike for you. How many of you have ever experienced that kind of thing in your life? Let me just say this. There is no promise of provision to the selfish and the stingy. Have you ever noticed that in Scripture? Have you ever found one? I haven't found one yet, but I've sure found a lot for the generous. I don't know about you, but I want to grow in my generosity. I think I'm pretty generous, but I want to be more. I look at a guy like Rick Warren, and I have just strong respect for that brother. And you know the story, probably. Maybe you don't. Rick Warren decided somewhere along the way he was going to become a reverse tither. You ever heard of such a term? He decided, you know what? I don't want to just give 10% to God. I'd like to give 90% of everything that comes into God and just live on 10%. John Wesley did something very similar. John Wesley said, okay, Lord, here's the little bit I need to live on. And everything above that you bring in, I'm just giving it to you. You know what happened with Rick Warren? And I absolutely believe this is why it happened. You can't convince me otherwise that this isn't what happened. It wasn't because he's just a smart guy and a good writer and he had something good to say. No, I believe it was because he was a radically generous man who trusted God and gave God his best. He wrote a little book called Purpose Driven Life. Anybody ever heard of it? It's the best selling nonfiction book in the history of. That's pretty good. Can you imagine how much money would have come in through that? I have no idea. But I know this, the vast, vast majority of it went back into the kingdom of God because Rick made a decision to be radically generous. There's no promise of provision to the selfie and stingy, selfish and selfie. That's like a picture you take, right? Oh. Proverbs 11:25, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Proverbs 11:24, withhold what's right and it leads to poverty. Philippians 4:17, there's an interesting verse there, right? Paul says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. It's really interesting, Paul's perspective here. He's praising the Philippians because they've gotten a hold of a spiritual principle here that Paul understands. Because you've learned to be generous, this is going to really bless you. God's going to bless you. And I'm happy that you gave to me, not just because you met my needs, but because I know what that giving's going to result in your life. Because I know that's going to bring blessing in your life. How many of you are getting what Paul's saying there? Two of you? Any others starting to sink down? It's so powerful. He says, I want you to be blessed by continuing to be a generous, joyful, sacrificial giver. Our generous, joyful, sacrificial gifts are a sweet-smelling. He goes on to describe this as a sweet-smelling, well-pleasing, acceptable sacrifice to God that guarantees his provision in perilous times. You know what this wording is referencing? It's referencing the Old Testament sacrifices. That when you and I give, and we give generously, in God's eyes, when you write out that check and you trust the Lord to give beyond what you even feel capable of giving, God looks at that and goes, wow, that's sweet-smelling and well-pleasing and acceptable to me. And then Paul ends, with praise in perilous times. And of course he does. Of course he ends this way. So powerful. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Indestructible joy, folks. If you and I'll just allow the Lord to build in our hearts out of deep and intimate relationship with Jesus, this indestructible joy we have talked about week after week, you will finish well for his glory. Amen. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? Lord, thank you for the 17 weeks that we've walked through your word and taken a deep dive, just asking you to teach each of us, humbly teach us and show us how to live in a way that's pleasing to you, Lord. And we've learned much. And Lord, help us. Sometimes we're guilty of knowing more than we obey. Sometimes our knowledge outpaces our obedience. God, let it not be so. Let us take your word seriously and let us live it out with our whole hearts for your glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And Lord, may we know indestructible joy in Jesus. Amen. Can you give the Lord praise this morning, church? Can you stand?